All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, and we are digging deeper into the book of Revelation. This week, looking at Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Again, two verses this week, but I want to treat each of the trumpets individually. So here we have our text for this week. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. So far, our text. We have this, once again, picture of a star falling from heaven as the third trumpet blows. All right, so this third trumpet blows, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. Andrew Caesarea says, some say that the bitterness revealed through the wormwood is symbolic of the torment that comes to those sinners being punished in Gehenna, who on account of their number are reasonably called waters. But we think that these depictions signify the sufferings at the time which has been shown. The star indicates either that these things come upon people from heaven, or it refers to the devil, of whom Isaiah says, how as the day star which rose in the morning, fallen from heaven, Isaiah 14:12. For through pleasure he gives people a foul and bitter destruction to drink, and through this allows punishing torments to come upon them, although not to everyone, but by the long suffering of God to a third part. It is necessary, therefore, that we examine ourselves, lest we be judged. As the Holy Apostle says, for if we judged ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, by the Lord we are chastened. 1 Corinthians 11, 31-32. And we receive the sufferings that come upon us with thanksgiving. For those who are concerned about sicknesses in the body bear patiently the cuts and cauteries of the physician, for they desire to be healed. Therefore, we should examine ourselves, so that being spiritually healthy and bringing no wood to fuel the fire of Gehenna, we might not be condemned with the world, but eternally rule with Christ, to whom be glory, honor, and worship, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit forever. Amen. So here we have Gehenna showing up again from last week, this place of torment in rabbinic Judaism that is a very temporary destination for the condemned, as they have somewhere as little as 3 months or as long as 12 months to be kind of burned their sins out, kind of an early Judaism idea of purgatory. This is what Gehenna is. But what do we talk about with the star? Verse 11, the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters become wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had become bitter. Well, what is wormwood to begin with? Wormwood is a root that is very bitter. And so when it is brewed in water, it is a very bitter taste. So we have this idea of the burning of the bitter root here in the star of Wormwood. Primasius says, since the ruin of those who are great often confuses many, it says that the star fell upon part of the rivers and fountains and that its name was Wormwood. We know that many are weakened by the fall of such persons and are corrupted by an evil imitation of their teaching. The star is rightly compared with Wormwood, since a small amount of bitterness, when mixed with that which is sweet, will make the whole bitter. So Primasius believes this to be a fall of somebody great or of several great people, possibly even within the church, that fall away from the one true faith and go after other different things that they have come up with on their own. This could be it. And of course, if we think of the fallen star, and as with Andrew of Caesarea, with the devil, then yes, that is going to be one of those places where we have both of them going across in a human and a supernatural event. And we have proof of this as we look at Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? Why is it that it yielded sour grapes instead of sweet grapes? Or in Ruth chapter 1, when Naomi and Ruth come back and the women of Bethlehem are all excited about it. She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." The death of her husband and her sons in the midst of the people of Moab has made a very bitter taste in her mouth as she comes back to the land of her roots, her hometown, so that she can maybe try to make a name for herself again. It's a very bitter homecoming, as Naomi says, with wanting to be called Mara. There is more to this bitterness idea throughout the scriptures, especially the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 29, verses 18 and 19. "Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. One who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, 'I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart.' This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike." So we have this idea of the bitterness again from Primasius, that even in Deuteronomy, God is talking about the possibility of the people falling away, which they do, because that's what we do. And so we move on into the prophets, especially Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 15. "Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed this people with bitter food and give them poisonous water to drink." Poisonous water being a judgment upon the people from God. And again, he says the same thing in chapter 23, verse 15. And then he moves on into Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 15. "He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall." Here we have Jeremiah lamenting over the destruction of Jerusalem, having already prophesied on two occasions that God was going to give them bitter and poisonous water to drink as a judgment. Here we have it. Jeremiah is not the only one. Amos says in chapter 5, verse 7, "O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth." And in chapter 6, verse 12, "Do horses run on rocks? Does one plow there with oxen? But you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. You who rejoice in Lodabar, who say, 'Have we not by our own strength captured Carnaim for ourselves?'" And in practical sense, we go to Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. "For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." These things look appealing. This is why there is the warning about falling away, is that it looks appealing. It looks like it's dripping with honey and smoother than oil, but it ends up being a sharp two-edged sword that gets bitterly jabbed in our hearts. So we have a Mark 13, again, this picture where John may be bringing this out and getting this image as well, where Jesus talks about the last days. "But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens." So we have this picture again of the stars falling as part of the upcoming events, the precursor, or to use wrestling term, the undercard of Jesus's return on the last day is this picture again. So John is remembering these words of Jesus during Holy Week as he looks at this vision that he is seeing in this third trumpet. And it is all a root of bitterness. This is what causes us to have issues in the church, is that we have this root of bitterness in us. We have this there because we have a sinful nature. We have that desire to be rid of those people who are not like us, who don't agree with us, who don't whatever in the same way that we do. This is the devil's bitterness in there. That is his wormwood working its way into us and working through us. And all we can do is pray for Jesus to take it away. Pray for the bitterness to be made sweet, just as Naomi had that when Obed was born to Ruth and Boaz. Naomi was no longer bitter, but she had a grandson that was able to carry on the line that would eventually give us King David and then eventually Jesus. That bitterness turns around, but it is only through the graciousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is only through him, because a lot of times, as we saw throughout the scriptures, it is he that allows this to happen, or he tells us he is bringing it to us, as he says through Jeremiah. It is our doing. Yes, absolutely. But we also have the notion that we cannot be without bitterness in this life. Therefore, we do pray as the apostles, I'm hoping, prayed when they heard these words from Jesus in Mark 13, that all these terrible things are going to happen. All of these scary things are going to happen. And then Jesus will come. And as we have at the end of Revelation, Jesus saying, "Behold, I am coming quickly." And John replies, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. End our bitterness." But this bitterness is here. And it is ours to deal with. It is ours to pray over and to put into God's hands that he may deliver us from it. All right, that's it for the third trumpet. We'll be back next week with the fourth trumpet. Again, just carrying on a couple of verses at a time as we see these things going on, as we see the importance of these things in our lives and in our understanding of the scriptures. I pray that this has been very beneficial to you, that it helps to strengthen you when you wrestle with the bitterness that is in your life. Amen.